In a corner of a crowded media party, Sean Parker, the tech entrepreneur vilified in The Social Network, surprised me with his gratitude for Forbes' nuanced profile. This encounter happened shortly before Steve Jobs' death, marking a symbolic transition from tech's old guard to a new generation of digital swashbucklers who would transform industries during the Great Recession. Unlike their predecessors, these entrepreneurs can't remember life without the internet. They've created unprecedented wealth. Zuckerberg worth $30 billion by 30, with nearly a dozen self-made American billionaires under presidential age. Their youth has become an advantage, with digital natives running companies without adult supervision. What truly sets them apart? Their individualism, embrace of risk, and view of failure as acceptable. As Ashton Kutcher, an investor in many of these ventures, puts it, "The American outlook that you only have to be right once explains why internet innovations spring predominantly from this country." Sean Parker personifies the internet's transformation from hacker playground to wealth generator. From Napster's teenage co-founder to Facebook's president, he amassed over $2 billion by 31 while bringing Spotify to America. Parker's talent lies in identifying invisible trends years before others. "He can see things most people won't be able to see for a year or two," says Palihapitiya, while Pishavar calls it hearing a dog whistle. Rather than chasing outcomes, Parker creates transition strategies for universal problems. Napster bridged CDs and MP3s. Facebook established reliable online identity, and Spotify aimed to repair the music industry Napster disrupted. His perfectionism appears in marathon conversations, dubbed Sean Standard Time, and obsessive attention to detail. Despite his villainous portrayal in The Social Network, Parker's actual Facebook contribution was establishing the corporate structure that preserved Zuckerberg's control while implementing minimalist design. His later $30 million Spotify investment fulfilled Napster's original vision while finally compensating musicians. Drew Houston's business education came from MIT fraternity life. He conceived Dropbox when stranded on a bus without his files. His cloud-based solution reached 50 million users by 2011, making him worth $600 million at 26. By 2014, Dropbox had 300 million users and a $9.5 billion valuation. In 2009, Steve Jobs summoned Houston, dismissed his demo, and offered to acquire Dropbox. Houston declined. Jobs warned Dropbox was a feature, not a product, before launching iCloud as a competitor. Despite this threat, Dropbox thrived. Though 96% of users paid nothing, the company generated $50 million in revenue in 2011 with just 70 employees, nearly triple Google's per-employee output. Houston explained, "Devices are getting smarter, and that means more data spread around. There needs to be a fabric that connects all these devices. That's what we do." In his Bel Air mansion, Elon Musk played BioShock while explaining Hegelian dialectics to a journalist. Despite luxurious amenities, the house felt eerily unlived in, a way station, not a home. This captures Musk's essence, a man whose mind is always elsewhere, focused on transforming two massive industries simultaneously. By 32, Musk had co-founded and sold PayPal for $1.5 billion. His second act targeted automobiles and space travel, perhaps the two most difficult industries for startups to enter. This ambition likely stems from his childhood in South Africa, where he memorized encyclopedias and endured brutal bullying for correcting others' factual errors. Despite his rational reputation, Musk cultivated a playboy image, dancing in Afro wigs, closing down Russian clubs, and attending Burning Man. At Tesla's SUV launch, he awkwardly promoted the Falcon Wing SUV in a velour blazer. With Tesla's 3.6 billion market cap but only 2,000 roadsters sold, he remained confident with waiting lists for both the SUV and upcoming sedan. What does $1 billion look like in the new tech era? For Instagram, it meant 14 20-somethings in a small San Francisco office building, a company that went from idea to billion-dollar acquisition in just 22 months, with zero revenue. Many called Facebook's 2012 purchase a bubble sign, but it proved one of the internet's greatest deals, with Instagram likely worth $10 billion by 2014. Kevin Systrom's path to founding Instagram began in 2006 when, as a barista, he met Mark Zuckerberg, who had previously tried recruiting him from Stanford. By declining that offer, which would have made him tens of millions, Systrom finished college instead. Working at a startup to make a lot of money was never a thing, he explained. Instagram succeeded by creating a mobile-native photo platform that was fast and elegant. Users could snap, edit with filters, and share photos globally with just a few thumb taps. The aesthetic inspiration came from Systrom's time in Florence, where his photography teacher replaced his SLR with a cheap Holga camera. The square images with soft focus taught him the beauty of vintage photography and also the beauty of imperfection, elements later incorporated into Instagram's filters. On a damp November afternoon in Stockholm, 28-year-old Spotify CEO Daniel Ek was preparing for his first New York press conference despite being ill. His rented Stockholm office had become the music industry's most important hub, with Ek its most influential player. Superstar bands made pilgrimages to meet him, Neil Young cruised with him, and Bono casually texted him. The music industry had desperately needed someone like Ek for over a decade, someone who could build something more appealing than piracy while generating sustainable revenue. After Napster devastated the industry in the 1990s and iTunes' single-focused model further eroded album sales, recording revenues plummeted from $56.7 billion in 1999 to about $30 billion in 2011. Spotify offered a revolutionary solution: legal access to virtually every song on demand for free. The platform was inherently social, allowing playlist sharing that generated over a billion songs swapped via Facebook in its first month. Unlike competitors, Ek insisted on proper label deals rather than using pirated music. What he expected would take 3 months stretched into 2 years of negotiations, requiring nearly $7 million in personal investments from him and co-founder Martin Lorenzen. What connects these digital pioneers isn't just their youth or technical prowess, it's their ability to see opportunities where others see problems. From Dropbox solving file accessibility, to Spotify reinventing music consumption, from Instagram making photo sharing beautiful, to WhatsApp connecting billions globally, each identified a universal need and created an elegant solution. These companies began with humble origins: a forgotten USB drive, a frustrating renovation, a desire to share disappearing photos. The entrepreneurs behind them weren't necessarily the most technically skilled, but they possessed the vision to see possibilities others missed and the determination to realize those visions. In this era of technological change, these stories remind us that innovation often comes from unexpected places. The next billion-dollar idea could emerge from anyone willing to challenge conventions and persist through failure. In the digital economy, you truly only have to be right once to change everything.